Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
As football weekends go, it doesn't get much worse than this. After Mizzou, K-State, and KU all lost on the road, of course we had the high-flying Chiefs to look forward to. A sunny day, a sea of red, and an opponent the Chiefs have dominated for years would surely be just the pigskin pick-me-up that we were all looking for. Until it all just fell apart. Sloppy play, silly turnovers, dreadful red zone defense, and even a panicked Patrick Mahomes with the game on the line. And just like that, poof, the Chiefs are alone in last place. Stan Weber joins us to discuss if this is a fluke or a real problem. We also talk about the problems with our college teams, and there are many. And I've got everything you need to know about the historic American victory in the Ryder Cup. It was a romp from the start on Friday, and the normally uptight Americans were having so much fun that by the time Saturday afternoon rolled around, a couple of the guys that weren't playing in the afternoon session were swilling beers with the fans, firing up the crowd. This was amazing. It's brought to you by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. It's true they do. They did it for me. Had a custom-built Chevy Blazer made? They'll do it for you. Anything you're looking for, a great truck, a Sierra, Silverado, Colorado, you name it, they'll build it for you. Or one of the Buick SUVs. Experience the new Buick at Roberts Robinson. Online, robertsrobinson.com. Don't forget their award-winning service department. They'll pick your car up, service it for you, and return it to you if you'd like them to do that. No additional fee. Pretty solid stuff. They really do make it easy. At Roberts Robinson. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Elite Automation. Make your building great again with Elite Automation. They specialize in retrofitting your HVAC control system for maximum comfort and savings. What's your building costing you? If you're running a business and you've got a building and you don't have a smart system operating your juice, you're paying too much. This is perfect for office buildings, churches, schools, warehouses. Online at EliteAutomate.com. It's free to have them come out and take a look and see what they can do for you. 913-766-2188. That's Elite Automation. Online at EliteAutomate.com. Amazing Garage Floors. Online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. You can call John Hutchins at 913-901-7139. He's a great American patriot. He has served his country with honor. He'll seal your driveway this fall. Add years of life to your concrete. It's pennies on the dollar for fixing it or repairing it. Or if you'd like to get that new Amazing Garage Floor, have him out for a quote. 913-901-7139. Online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. And 360 Document Solutions. Think of 360 as, well, it's kind of like your consultant for your office. They can help you make everything run more smoothly, more productively, and for a lower price. They'll get you out of expensive HP copiers and toner and get you into the new deal with better equipment at a lower cost that makes you more efficient. IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems. Give them the opportunity to work with your organization. Mark Lindquist is a great conservative. This guy knows how to run business. And he can help you with yours. He'd love to have the opportunity. Give Mark a call at 913-745-5344, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Wow, what a terrible, terrible football weekend. Just did not go well anywhere. Stan Weber will join us, tell if it's all a fluke or if we've got big problems on our hand. On KKHI, hit it!
The B-Stock Electronics Outlet Store is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at bstock.net.
Well, our conversation about all the losing is with Stan Weber, who is a real winner in life, I can promise you that, and not accustomed to having weekends like this, where maybe we thought the Chiefs were going to save our weekend, and then they didn't. Hello, Stan. Happy Monday. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm okay. The sun is shining brightly. It's early in the year, but the local losing does wear on you a little bit. So unless you're a giant Ryder Cup golf fan and happy about what the U.S. did, if you're talking about football, it was a long, long weekend, and it spread a long ways. If you're a Nebraska fan and a Chiefs fan, if you're an Iowa State fan and a Chiefs fan, KU, K-State, Missouri, everybody's losing this weekend, Kevin. So not a lot of winning to talk about, but still, it's always interesting. One game a week, you've got to split all the hairs and figure out what your team, And that's what's great about football. It's not like, oh, we'll play another game tomorrow like you do in baseball and throw it away. You've got to remember every one of these games counts. So we do have to analyze it.
All right, let's start with the big story, the big picture story here, and that is at the time that we're recording this, we're a little unsure of any real new or latest update on Andy Reid and his health condition. We know the Chiefs said on Sunday night around 9:30 that he was resting and doing well. He's stable. ESPN reported this was simply dehydration and precautionary to get him to the hospital and get fluids in him. We don't know that for sure, but it sure seemed bizarre or very serious, I guess I should say, at one point when Tyrann Mathieu tweeted out that he was praying for his coach, and I know he loves his coach, and I appreciate, you know, what he was doing, but it's been a little cryptic. It's exactly what happened with Andy Reid here. How concerned should we be for this coach and the seriousness of what may have occurred?
Well, I think we have to be. He's not 42 years old, period, and the stress level that you have to deal with in that industry is just off the charts. And so, you know, right now he's probably going through as much stress as he's had in a long, long time on that day, that game. You know, maybe it's just a flu, but we still have COVID and those issues coming around. And you wonder with people older age, slightly overweight, those kind of things. So I don't throw it away at all. I just wonder, you know, what the heck? I hope he's doing okay. But I do know he is in an industry that's just crazy stressful. And, you know, they put those heart monitors on athletes now, and we're starting to watch that. If there was a stress monitor that you could put on a head coach in the NFL, that thing doesn't come down to normal ever. There's no off time where he goes and laughs with his grandkids and just has, you know, a good old time. These coaches in the back of their mind are spinning with what they need to fix, who they need to talk to, and those kind of things. So I definitely say there's a lot of concern until they just say, he's dehydrated, he's fine, he's back in the office. Because even if you just want to do it from a cold-blooded robot point of view, what do we say, Kevin? Andy Reid's the second-best coach in the National Football League. So you need him around, and this football team is 1-2, and that means it's game on. You don't have room for error, and if he's not game planning on Tuesday and Wednesday, that's a giant step backwards for the Chiefs. So not only his personal health, but for this football team, they need him in there, and being able to put in the long hours and not miss days. So it's a big point from a football standpoint and obviously from a health standpoint.
I have long since tried to stop talking about football coaches who coach a long time, don't walk away from the game, never take a break, overstress themselves, create health situations or whatever. Andy Reid's a classic example. He came to Kansas City on the heels of a tragic personal family loss and a firing. And then just got right back into coaching and came to Kansas City like nothing ever happened. Obviously, he likes coaching football, number one, and everything else is secondary to that. It's not judging someone. The best coaches are probably that way, Stan. For good or bad, right or wrong in their lives, the best coaches are that way. I wonder if this is simple dehydration, if he just got hot on Sunday, got dehydrated and a little bit dizzy, and they said, hey, let's just go get you full of fluids, or if there is more to this. It seems like if they took him to the hospital, maybe they wanted to check his vitals and check on some other things. I wonder if it is some sort of a wake-up call. I don't know, and I've often wondered why, if it's just too hard or why Andy hasn't gotten serious about losing a few pounds. He's done it a couple of times, but it's always kind of – he's gained it back, and he's not a young man. I wonder if this will be something that makes him take a look at the way he works – in the way he coaches and lives.
Well, this is not a cut down to anyone, but you have a feeling of invincibility when you're in that role, Kevin. And these guys, generally the most successful coaches, and maybe all of them, but definitely the highest achieving coaches, Kevin, fit into a small category. And you can be upset with them if you live a normal life and you think you ought to have balance in your life and everything else. But the fact is, the most successful guys are just crazy and don't think straight. And this is everything to them. And you can understand people want to cut that down and talk about money and those type of things. But let's just talk about responsibility. There is a big, big region right now that is not having a good Monday morning because the Chiefs lost. That's how important it is. And he is ultimately responsible for that. So at some point, it's not only selfishness, and it might be, but it's also just the responsibility that you have, that you know winning is what everyone expects, and you know you can do it, if you put in the time and do everything excellently. So I think it is part of Andy Reid's being. He acts pretty calm on the outside when he's doing his press conferences and things like that, but that dude's fired up. And the greatest coaches in the country, both college football, basketball, and the NFL, the ones that I know about, they all have a skewed attitude that this is the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth most important thing in their life in how they spend their time. Now, they wouldn't say that in an interview. They would never say that. So they have a black spot in their brain here where they think they care a lot about their family and all of that. But, Kevin, when you look at how they allocate their time and where their mind really is, it's on football. And so it's not an Andy Reidism at all. And I don't know about, you know, weight gain and those type of things. It's just hard to be a nutritious on the schedule that they have as well. When you get there early in the morning and you leave it late at night and you don't have that much sleep, Kevin, and you're not young, I mean, I just don't know how you're worried about eating these four carrots. That's not what's on their mind. I mean, they are focused on football, and they grab whatever's nearby, if it's chips or whatever. Some guys lose weight because they don't eat enough. But it's a stressful situation, and these guys don't feel sorry for them, Kevin. You said it right. Not mean, not cold-blooded. Do not feel sorry for these guys. Because as soon as you pull them out of it and try to put balance in their life, you turn around for 1 second, they'll sneak out and go back to where they were. They want to be in this environment.
All right, I'm going to say something controversial here, and we use a term. When we watch football teams, Stan, we all look at a team and we say, well, they're well-coached or they're not well-coached. We say that a lot in sports, and it's more to it than just the coach. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. The Chiefs were a lot better coached when Alex Smith was the quarterback than they are now. This is a sloppy, undisciplined football team. They're arrogant. They're cocky. Four more turnovers. Two games in a row, they've turned it over with the game on the line, and they were both neither one of the turnovers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's fumble last Sunday night, was sloppy. The guy barely touched the ball, and it came loose. And Mahomes' interception yesterday with under 2 minutes to go, tied at 24, was embarrassingly bad for a player of his capability. It was embarrassingly bad. The only thing you don't do with a minute 50 to go in a 24 game is turn it over. You don't give the other team another chance. The worst-case scenario is you run some clock down, kick it away with 28 seconds left, and go to overtime. I'm actually embarrassed by what the Chiefs have done the last 2 weeks, Dan. They don't look like they care. They don't look like a very well-coached football team at all right now.
Well, I'll take a little bit of what you talked about and use a little tangent information if you're interested in that, Kevin, and then we can go back to your core point. But the Manning telecast on ESPN2, you and I talked about that before that unfolded this year, and I know you've talked about it on your podcast. It's Monday night. They're going to be back on again, right? And for some people, it's must-see TV. Others, it's interesting and that kind of thing. But one of the things that it really has done is it's brought guests on who speak so openly that you think that they're in someone's basement. I mean, they forget that they're on national TV, I think. What did Travis Kelce say last week when he was on with the Mannings? We make up S-H-I-T when we're out there, and it's so much fun. And that's how that last turnover occurred, Kevin. That was just a classic. There's no play call that says that Patrick's supposed to throw the ball there or that Kelce's supposed to be there. You can't get on either one of them and say, you made a mistake. This is what they do. They freelance, and it's part of their game. And like Patrick Mahomes said after the game, I'm not going to quit doing that now just because of this one incident, because the whole time I've been a quarterback here, we've been doing stuff, and it's been working, so you're not going to scare me away from playing the way that I do. But that pass, he just assumed Kelce was going to go further upfield, threw it up there, thought he's going to get a big play, and it ends up being the easiest interception ever for a safety back there. And a big turning point in that ball game to give the game back to the Chargers. So you got, you know, Alex Smith, a couple things about Alex Smith that is true with what you're saying. First of all, Alex Smith is a follower of the rules. Alex Smith is a coach on the field. I believe that many of the best teams in football have a quarterback who really isn't just a player. He's more of an extension of the coaching staff. He'll say the things that the coaches say in meetings, even though he wasn't in the meetings. He's not in with them and not a player, but he just anticipates and thinks like a coach. So he'll get in the huddle. He'll get before the team in the locker room and say the things that coaches would have said, but no one would have listened to. That's Alex Smith. He would have run the offense the way it was supposed to be run. He would have avoided turnovers. One of the biggest things. Dick Vermeil, right? Chiefs fans know about Dick Vermeil. He's got all the stats. You turn over the football, you lose. Those kind of things. Alex Smith fit all of those. Coach on the field, discipline on the field, says the right things, does the right things. But what do you lose? The upside, the flair, the capability, and the fantastic plays. And that's what you get with Patrick Mahomes. I thought yesterday was probably the first time in all of Patrick Mahomes' starts where you looked and said, this is what Kevin and I wrongly thought would be a part of Chiefs football when Patrick Mahomes was drafted. Patrick Mahomes had Cliff Kingsbury, an NFL head coach right now, as his head coach, right? Quarterback coach, and they barely were over 500, kind of a 7-6 team, right, Kevin? And the numbers were awesome, and the things that Patrick Mahomes did were great, but they couldn't find a way to always win games. He comes to the NFL, turns it on, but I thought with the flair that he brought that he may get burned once in a while. Some bad stuff might happen, but sure enough, when he fumbled in the Titan game, in the Houston Texans game, that playoff game, where the ball bounced right out of bounds. You know, if he throws it to someone, they seem to miss it. But yesterday, Kevin, I'll give you both of the turnovers in the passing game were absolutely almost 100% Patrick Mahomes. There's no reason on that first interception that he had to make that a no-look pass. There's no reason. There was no defender who was bearing down on his receiver, Kemp, that he had to make it a no-look pass to just hit him in stride and have the Chiefs moving inside the 10-yard line and maybe going to house that throw, right? But he made it a no-look pass, missed his target by probably 3 to 6 inches, and then he doesn't have a great receiver out there who has the ball bounce off of him and go up for an interception. And you can blame the receiver. That's fine. You know, it's not Tyreek Hill. He probably would have caught it. But Patrick Mahomes made a mistake there, and he made a mistake on the last interception. Those are truly on him, and it's the first time I've seen kind of stuff go bad against him when he's doing some crazy things.
Stan, you don't just fool the defense with a no-look pass. You fool your receiver. Kemp wasn't ready for that ball. All of a sudden, it's flying at him. He's like, oh. I mean, he fooled Kemp. He did. He's looking back at his quarterback, and his quarterback's looking somewhere else. He's not expecting the ball to come his way. Now, that doesn't mean he shouldn't have caught it or whatever. It was a little bit behind him. But it's so frivolous and unserious. And what we've seen now, and I think this is really an important point, the Chiefs are kind of the same team they've been for 3 years, all right? They're a little sloppier than they were. They don't seem quite as serious, but they're pretty much the same team. You've said this many times. They've still got their three studs. Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, they're going to rack up points just because they have those three guys. The offensive line, if you ask me, is worse than it was last year. There was no pocket for Mahomes yesterday. At any moment, was there any pocket? Here's the problem. Everybody else has gotten better. Everybody has a quarterback now. Everybody can score 30 points on the Chiefs. These games are all going to go to the wire. The Chiefs can't separate from anybody. Maybe they play the Eagles next week. Maybe there's a team they can go get a 17-point lead on. But most games the Chiefs are going to play, Stan, are going down to the wire because everybody else is caught up.
And they're going to get the best of them. I mean, when you play against the Chiefs, you're playing the elite. Doesn't matter what town we're in. You know, we may be flyover country somewhat, but not in the NFL, Kevin. You can be in Green Bay and be the badass team of the NFL, right? I mean, in Kansas City, we are the elite, and the teams are going to bring their best. And there are going to be more primetime games, and everyone's going to want to prove themselves against the Chiefs. And the things that you're saying are true. Let's go back and talk about a couple of them. One, the superstars. The Chiefs are about their superstars. You pointed that out. Again, I agree with you. The offensive line is renewed. They put a lot of resources into it. They addressed a lot of issues. They won a line that's better than it was in the Super Bowl, but only that game, because Eric Fisher before that was better than what they have now. And the offensive line isn't any better. Just because they address the issues doesn't mean this group has come together and is better. Quit telling me the offensive line is fixed because they put a lot of emphasis on it. It takes a while for those guys to get together. You've got Chris Long is injured. Whatever. This offensive line is still just average. Okay. I know you agree with that, Kevin, but a lot of people said, the offensive line is fixed. We have talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you and I. He did fine yesterday, but every time you run the ball when you're with the Chiefs, you're utilizing time. Even if he gets 100 yards, you come off the ball and run, every team is going to be glad to play two less possessions in the game and let the Chiefs stall out the game while they have offense as well and take the passing game out of rhythm. So there's a strategy to play against the Chiefs. Their superstars are still good enough. But then let's go on the defensive side. I thought it was good that they had Chris Jones play some defensive tackle, because I think taking him out and making him a defensive end might end up being okay, but in the short run is a step backwards. And then here's, I'm going to say this for the first time, because I've been his biggest fan. Tyrann Mathieu was one of the big reasons why the Chiefs were a Super Bowl participant and champion, because they matched what the offense have done. When Patrick Mahomes came here, the offense has been unbelievable, but they didn't win that New England game in the AFC Championship game because the defense stunk. Well, you bring Tyrann Mathieu in, and he's been a difference maker, Kevin. He's been one of those superstars. But the fact is, he's not playing to that level right now. He sparks every once in a while, but down after down, he's not making himself an elite part of that defense. He just looks like another defender out there. That is going to happen to Tyreek Hill someday. I'm not saying Tyrann Mathieu's done and it's over, but he's not playing to the same level that he did last year, and this happens in the NFL. He's not a young man. At some point, Tyreek Hill's going to not be the superstar speedster that he is, and it will happen before you even realize it. But Tyrann Mathieu has to pick up his game. I think they need to get Chris Jones in on the inside a little bit more and hope that this defense will get better. I do think the offense can get better, Kevin. All you have to do is play with a little more discipline, a little more humbleness. Quit messing around and thinking it's your God-given right to go to the Super Bowl and you can have fun and win games. The Chiefs can get back into a mode, a little Alex Smith mode. Patrick Mahomes has it in him. They can get serious about this and be just fine. They're still the best team in the AFC if they clean some things up and it's in their control. So there are some positive things I can say, but Tyrann Mathieu worries me. Chris Jones messing around with him right now worries me a little bit. And again, the Chiefs superstars have got to stay healthy. If you lose any of those three guys, the Chiefs are going to fall dramatically backwards.
I can't even remotely say the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC right now. They're going to have to prove that to me over this season, and I guess they can get there. Stan, the last thing we'll talk about here on specifically the Chiefs before we get into some other things that happen around the league, the red zone defense is pathetic. I mean, the Chargers came in as the one team that couldn't score touchdowns. Like, they've been getting to the red zone and couldn't score touchdowns. The Chiefs, remarkably, through 2 weeks, their defense, 8 red zone opportunities, 8 touchdowns by the opponents. That's impossible to do. And it continued with the Chargers on Sunday. They got to the red zone and they scored touchdowns. I don't know how you're ever going to beat anybody if you can't keep people out of the end zone.
Absolutely. I said it a couple times on the air for K-State, Kevin, but not all your listeners have heard this. And see what you think about this. Football is a much more offensive game. Field position matters a little less than it did. Everyone seems to get a first down or two, Kevin. I really think that football games are won right as the offense crosses over the 50-yard line. And right in that area, can they be stopped or win a little battle to go forward just enough to make a long field goal? That's 3 points or zero. If you're pooching a punt and punting when you're at the opponent's 45-yard line, that is a failure, Kevin. You'd rather punt from your own 20. I mean, that's where 1 point in the game is won. And the second one that most people are very aware of is the red zone. Are you going to make it a 3-point drive or a 7-point drive? And most of these football games come down to, yeah, the offense is going to put up numbers, but did they score touchdowns when they got in the red zone? And if you look at all the ills for the Kansas City Chiefs right now, not stopping the run, turnovers, whatever you want to look at, Kevin, the worst one is giving up touchdowns in the red zone at an almost unfathomable rate. You had the Ravens last week, had a 3rd and 8 at the 14-yard line or something. That's disaster. You just do not get a first down in the NFL. And I think that they were even saying on the television broadcast I was listening to, well, I should stop them right here. And sure enough, they converted. And it's just unbelievable how the Chiefs fail in that part of the field. That has to be fixed statistically. It almost must. I mean, I can't see how you're going to be anywhere near 100%. You should be closer to 55%, Kevin, 60%. So I think that'll turn around a little bit. But right now, that may be the biggest problem they have. The Ravens have trouble passing the ball when you know they're going to throw the ball, and they did it and scored in the red zone. And like you said, the Chargers have been struggling down in that area, and they were able to turn it into touchdowns. So, a couple of teams that shouldn't be able to do that against you. There's plenty of reason to be frustrated. But just to go back to the other point, Kevin, I didn't say the Chiefs are anywhere near what they were 2 years ago or at times last year in a 14-2 season. I'm just saying I don't find the other team in the AFC that's better. I don't believe in Buffalo like everyone else does. I believe in Cleveland, but they're just, you know, they're like the Chiefs. You know, who else am I going to say is better? Raiders, Chargers? No.
They've just played three teams that could all be in the playoffs to start the season, and I can't say the Chiefs are better than any of those three teams at this point. Can you?
Well, if they played, let's just talk about like in a baseball or basketball series, if they played best out of three or something like that, I think the Chiefs would win. You know, just like yesterday's game, I texted out to my buddies, my group, who were watching. I said, only the Chiefs can be down 3-0 in turnovers and win a game. Well, it turned to 4-0 and they didn't win. But just think about that. I mean, the Chargers still do so many dumb things. The dumb penalties they have, the decisions they make, they were trying to give the game right back to the Chiefs. So, no, I agree with you. All three games are dead even. They could be 3-0, 0-3, 1-2, 2-1. They're all there. They're all even games. But down after down, game after game, and when the pressure's on, when we get to the playoffs, Kevin, I still would say, okay, until proven otherwise, I think the Chiefs are the best team, but they better get humble and start cleaning things up and playing with a more predictable methodology. If they do that, I still think there's just no one in the AFC. Just name any team, and let's go best two out of three, and I have no problem saying Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to get it done because Bill Belichick's not a factor. New England's not one of those teams, okay? I believe in the Ravens a lot more than everyone else does. So I don't. Everyone says, "Oh, Chiefs always beat the Ravens." I think the Ravens, if they would run the ball, Kevin,
right,
yeah, more than they pass, which they never do until this last week. Okay, I believe in the Ravens a lot more, coach and system and belief. I've always believed in the Steelers, but I don't think they've got enough to fight with you. So I believe in the Chiefs and Andy Reid more than the newcomers, Bill and the Raiders, or everyone loves the Bills. If you're going to go over in Cleveland, those teams I just don't think are up to the pressure. So, again, I'll say I think the Chiefs are the best team. But what's cool, every year is a new year, and they're 1-2, so it's not going to be easy. They better get to work.
Yeah, and this just in, all three teams in the division think they can beat the Chiefs now. They do. So it's going to be wild. This is going to be a wild season. This is not going to be easy. I don't see the Chiefs as the one seed. Unless AFC is just chaos, I think the schedule's too hard. We've seen that here to start the season. I think the division's really hard now. All the things the Chiefs had going for them the last few years, they don't really have. This division definitely got better. Raiders win one in overtime yesterday. The Ravens got a gift when the officials handed them the deal on Tucker's 66-yard field goal to win the game yesterday. So we're actually seeing some bad things happen for the Chiefs outside of Chiefs games, which isn't good either. Let's go around the league, and we'll start with Tucker's field goal. Record setter. 66-yarder, they win the game. It never should have happened. There was a delay of game that the officials missed. How is delay of game a judgment call in the NFL? Why is there not like a shot clock in basketball and a buzzer that goes off? How can this even happen in 2021?
Well, that's a great little split the hair point right there, Kevin, because the official who's watching the clock for delay of games, not the referee, it's the furthest official away behind the free safety. Because he has less worry about what's going on at the line of scrimmage. Until the ball snapped, he doesn't have a lot to do. So they let him worry about the clock. So what he does is he is ready to do his job, but he also is monitoring the clock. And when he sees the clock go to zero, then he looks at the ball. And if the ball hasn't been snapped, he calls a penalty. But when it's at zero and he looks down and the ball is being snapped, he lets it go. They don't want you to call a delay of game.
Right.
They want you to be sure of it, and they actually give you what? A whole extra half a second? A whole second? That is their technique. So that's literally what the official does. And if he's distracted by other things, like who he's supposed to watch, is he supposed to monitor the slot receiver or the tight end? His rules change depending on how the play unfolds. On a field goal, there are different positions on the field, but fans, they have to see it say zero on the play clock, and then look at the ball. So when you see, it's not like a shot clock in basketball. It's not the same at all. And one clarification, Kevin, because you are so tricky and good, I want to clarify one thing, because usually I agree with you on most things, but you said, I do not think the Chiefs are going to be the number one seed. Okay?
Okay.
Let's hold that sentence there. Do not, fans, he didn't connect that with what I said, but I just want to make sure that we don't connect it. I didn't say the Chiefs are going to be the number one seed in 2021. I said the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. Because they have two losses already, they may not make it back to the number one seed, Kevin. So both can be true. The Chiefs may not be the number one seed and still could be the best team.
Well, I duly noted. Excellent point. I just look at the Chiefs as way too reliant on these three players. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. And now I've watched 3 weeks in a row where the other team, the other roster, is better. We can sit here and pat Brett Veach on the back all we want and Andy Reid and all this stuff. The Chiefs roster isn't that good, Stan. It's not that good. They don't have a good offensive line. Their defensive line doesn't stop the run very well. Their secondary's okay. They got this Baker guy playing now. And it isn't very good. The roster isn't very good. It just really isn't.
Well, yes. Let's split the team up and say Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, oh boy, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. This is a crazy little equation. But if those four guys just walked up and said, we all want to move to another team to make this thing interesting. If those four guys walked, the Chiefs would fall right down to being a 8-9 team. Okay? I mean, just flat out middle of the pack. And wherever those four dudes went would be elite and probably as good as anybody in the right. NFL. Even Detroit. Even Detroit would be really good, a playoff team, probably a division champion, if those four guys. So they are a part of the roster. They are a part of the Chiefs. We saw it with John Elway. I mean, we're not trying to say they aren't Kansas City Chiefs. I pointed out so much, Kevin, just to try to hopefully inform fans of how the game unfolds. And those are the dudes that get it done. And I also want to point out that if one of them gets injured, I think the Chiefs could take a giant step backwards.
Huge
step backwards, because they can't go, well, we'll give it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and we'll balance the game out that way. No, there are no Tyreek Hills out there. And he's got two and three guys guarding him. So Travis Kelce ends up being open. And then when two or three guys guard him also, then obviously you can run the ball. Patrick can scramble. And there's plenty of answers. But it all starts with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. Those three guys make an unstoppable trio in the NFL, the best there is. And Andy Reid knows how to orchestrate it. So I'm still very high on the Chiefs. The defense looks way too bad. But they've got to, at some point, not be so bad in the red zone. And, Kevin, if we were to turn some of the Ravens' kicks and Cleveland Browns' kicks, if we turn to some of those games and had those be field goals instead of touchdowns, you know, then the Chiefs win by 7 or 10. So it cannot continue. You can't be this bad in the red zone. It would be maybe, I don't have the stats in front of me, probably the worst in NFL history if they keep at this rate.
Wow. All right, a couple more points here around the league. If we were doing the Rams take care of Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers, if we were doing a power poll today, 1 through 32, you're just ranking all the teams, are the Rams number one in the NFL right now?
You know, they might be, because Aaron Donald is an unbelievable defensive player. They're solid on defense with Jalen Ramsey. There's no reason why the Rams defense isn't solid to really, really good. And so on the offensive side, they got good play calling, and it looks like Stafford has stepped up and given you accurate throwing downfield, calmness in the pocket, making winning plays. Jared Goff, when things were going well, was awesome. But any adversity, any pressure, and he would just fold and turn into a below-average quarterback. And we're not going to see that with Stafford. So with what they did and controlling the game against the Tampa Bay Bucs yesterday, you can't rank Tampa Bay number one today. You just can't do it. So I'll go with the Rams. Now, if they were playing in the playoffs, Kevin, and Tom Brady's healthy, then if we're talking about an NFC championship game, Rams-Buccaneers, it'll surprise me, Kevin, if I don't say the Bucs are going to win that game. So as a regular season, you got to say Rams over Bucs, and I don't know who else I would replace them with right now. I think the AFC has a ton of good teams. You know, just start marking them down from second or third to 10th or 11th. Just the AFC is loaded with good teams. But right now, you got to watch out for the Bucs, and the Rams took care of them easily yesterday.
All right, and he's not a likable sort, and it was a rocky offseason for Aaron Rodgers. But my goodness, I got a football crush on this man. I'm telling you, when I watch him throw that little flick down the sideline, the slot receiver, they just throw it over and over and over. I think he completed probably 80 yards worth of passes on that flick last night and got two pass interference calls on that thing. And then he's got 37 seconds to go, no timeouts. He goes down and with 2 seconds left, spikes the ball. They kick a 52-yard field goal to win it. Aaron Rodgers is a freak show, dude. He's unbelievable.
He is. You know, we just did the three guys for the Chiefs, and I keep mentioning them. But with the Packers, you just mentioned one guy. And I don't mean this as a cut down to Patrick Mahomes, okay? I really don't, because I just believe in the Chiefs so much more. Aaron Rodgers is an enigma. I do not like how he functions as an NFL quarterback. I don't believe in him winning the Super Bowl, because at some point the stress pulls the team apart just enough, because he's just a one-man show. But on any given regular season game, I ask myself when the Packers play, oh, tell me how Aaron Rodgers plays. Because if he plays at his best, Packers win. Packers win. We saw it when they came to Arrowhead. I know Patrick Mahomes wasn't available that night, but that crowd was rocking in Arrowhead for the night game. Was that 2 seasons ago?
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers just made plays out of his butt, it almost seemed, but they're not. The guy has unbelievable natural ability. It doesn't matter who. I know he has some favorite receivers and all that, Kevin, and he's got a good running back, but you know what? I don't care if the running back or that receiver is available. He'll get the ball to anybody else. He throws it so easily, it's like you and I can catch it. When he throws that back shoulder throw, when it's perfectly timed, I don't know how he knows how the DB's off step, not going to turn around and knock it away, and you just slow down and it hits you right in the chest. I mean, the guy throws an unbelievable ball. When he is on, just start. The first question is, did Aaron Rodgers play great? And if he did, Packers win. Game over. One-man show. And I don't like his attitude. I don't believe him all the way through, but you're right. And I said there would be no issues from the offseason, Kevin. That was my statement. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I'm going to stick with it if I haven't told you about this. All the controversy and him hanging out with his wife and friends, you know, on the beaches and not practicing football. Everyone said, oh, I bet there's going to be problems with the Packers. You know, he's not practicing. He's not back in Green Bay, and he hates the management. I go, this guy doesn't get along with anybody. He doesn't like his family. I mean, come on. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care.
I know.
You're not going to knock him off. He's a Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. I mean, he's a one-man show. He's there. He's going to be great. I don't expect anything in the offseason to matter, because I don't think his teammates liked him anyway.
Right.
They just know he's great.
He had two jerk moves in the game last night. On one play, Devontae Adams got cheap-shotted and was literally knocked out. He was unconscious on the ground, and then his eyes opened. I think you probably saw this, and if people watched the game, they saw it. He was like a boxer on the canvas, and he was down. And Rodgers is just standing back there like he doesn't care. I mean, at that point, I know the medical team's around him. You're the quarterback. That's your guy. You probably ought to walk down there since he got knocked out. And Devontae Adams walks off the field, and Rodgers is like, okay, whatever. And they play another snap, and then Adams comes back in the game, and I don't think he ever patted him on the butt and said, hey, you're tough, man. Way to go. Nothing like that. And then the other one was when he spiked the ball with 2 seconds left. I don't know if you saw this or not, Stan. Rodgers spiked it, and then he kind of gave it a fist pump, and he just runs off the field. He leaves his 10 teammates standing out there. I mean, they're coming off, but there was no – there was no anything to anybody. There was no, hey, nice job, receiver. Hey, a pat on the butt for the offensive line. Nothing. He just spiked the ball and took off. Like, that's it. I did my part. Now I'm out of here. It's unbelievable.
You're right. But even worse than that is he didn't act like the kicker would ever miss. Like, I did my job.
Right.
We won this game. Dude's got to kick a 50-yarder. He acts like, I spiked it at the 10. I won the game.
Yep.
See you later.
Yep.
And no, it's like, well, I know he's been with this guy 15 years, and the kicker's his buddy, and he believes in him, and he said, you know, said that after the game. Oh, I knew he would make that kick. But no, you can't act like I did my part. So it's easy. If he had missed that 50-yarder, the look on Aaron Rodgers' face would have been like, are you kidding me?
Exactly.
What are these guys around me doing?
Right.
I mean, I won this game, and now those guys lose it. He is an individual in a team sport. And I don't like the way it looks, feels, or how, you know, he should have won more Super Bowls, Kevin, by making people around you better. I'm old school enough that, you know, even I like huddles where they can look in your eyes and you can say the right thing and you can emphasize. But I think quarterbacking is just the opposite of being a superstar and going out and winning the game like LeBron James in basketball. I think it's like a jockey, Kevin. I have taught youngsters, you're the jockey. That horse, those other 10 guys, you make them just a little bit better, and that makes you look better as a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers defies all of those old school stuff. He just says, I am better than everybody else, and I'm going to go win the game. So everything's cool. And he does it. I mean, if you want to talk about cocky and you like cocky, he's exhibit A. I mean, he and Muhammad Ali, right? I mean, he's exhibit B. Muhammad Ali says, I got this. And Aaron Rodgers is kind of like that.
Yeah. Yep. I see it. All right, before I let you go, Kansas State loses on the road at Oklahoma State this weekend. They've got quarterback issues again. I guess Will Howard went out of the game. We don't know, or I don't know, what the injury was or why he couldn't get back in. Skylar Thompson made the trip, was warming up before the game, but I don't know that he's ready this week. Where's K-State at quarterback? They're getting ready to play Oklahoma, which a team that doesn't look all that great. I mean, this is a game maybe K-State could win. Where do you feel like the Wildcats are right now?
Well, I think they're going to be glad to be back at home. They realize that there is home field advantage once again in college football, and it's the first time they've had to play in that environment with Will Howard, and he was unable to keep going, so it's Jaren Lewis. Oklahoma State played a really good game, and Spencer Sanders played a half of his life. The second half, he didn't do so well, and he didn't score any points, but they already had 31 points. K-State made mistakes. The crowd noise and those things, I think, affect them. They'll be glad to be back home. Oklahoma is someone that they can compete with, but the quarterback situation is really a giant question. I don't have a lot to say about it because I don't know at all what happened to Will and where he might be this week. Jaren Lewis is doing a good job for being a third-string quarterback and coming in there. But, Kevin, you're the third-string quarterback. You're inexperienced. I mean, there's going to be a ways to go to compete in the Big 12, so you'd be better off with mostly Will Howard if he's available. And you'd be way better off with Skylar Thompson because he really is an accurate passer, understands the offense. But, Kevin, be careful. I sat out 2 weeks one time when I was a senior starting quarterback, and that third week when I came and played, I was a shell of myself. I wasn't my normal self. So don't just think if Skylar Thompson happens to walk out there that he's fixed. It's all perfect. You know, he still has an injury, and he has been out a couple of weeks. So I just hope if Skylar Thompson plays, we get a really good version of him. And there's no reason not to think that this game could go right down to the last second. It could happen with others. But the thing is will Oklahoma spark and play out of their mind or play like they have? I'll present to you, I watched all the Oklahoma State games coming in, and the OSU that you saw in the second half, Kevin, is exactly the way they looked against Boise and Tulsa. That was Oklahoma State. But for one half, they played out of their mind, and they separated against K-State. If Oklahoma plays like they did against Tulane, and against West Virginia and Nebraska, K-State's just as good as them, and we'll be right there to the end. But you always got to respect with Lincoln Riley and the explosiveness that Oklahoma has. You'd think that they're going to be mad, right? They lost to K-State twice in a row. You should see the best of Oklahoma. But I'm just kind of a little shell-shocked right now, Kevin, because I went to Stillwater thinking this is going to be a battle of pretty even teams, and I'm watching Spencer Sanders act like he's Patrick Mahomes delivering the ball around the yard in the first half. And if Oklahoma plays their best, they're going to separate. But if they play like they have, then, man, K-State's got a chance. And that's what I'm hoping for because I think it should be a really close game. This Oklahoma team so far looks nothing like the last 5 years' version.
Right.
This team is just good, not dominant and great.
Stan, have a great week. Thank you so much, as always. Really appreciate it. And there are some wins ahead for our teams. It'll get better, I promise.
The locals lose, not this week, okay?
Right.
Hopefully next week we can talk more about some better football. Chiefs on the road. We'll see if they can clean it up. The Eagles are a perfect team to play. If you play fundamentally sound, Alex Smith-like, you win. You win by 10 or more. You mess around and you bring those guys into a game. It's the perfect test to see where the Chiefs are going to be. What are they going to do after losing two games? Clean it up, you win at the Eagles easily. Mess around, and you can lose a road game again.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Stan. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
All the best. He is Stan Weber, and he brings it every Monday right here. He's our Monday morning quarterback. That's great stuff with Stan Weber. It's brought to you by our friends at Back 9 Development. Online at back9development.com. Custom home builder. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, anywhere in the Midwest. Back 9 Development could do a room addition for you, a custom home, or commercial properties. Right now, they feature the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere with a pool, workout facility, and covered parking. Online at back9development.com. Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations in the Kansas City area for your convenience. They run on time at Fry Ortho. No waiting. That's the way they operate. They know time is money, and they know that your time is valuable. They treat you with great respect. All of their offices run beautifully. You're going to appreciate that as you have your visits, as you return with your teenager or yourself. If you're looking at Invisalign, same price as braces, less time missed, fewer appointments, better hygiene. It's Invisalign right now at Frye Orthodontics. Buck Roofing and Construction, free roof inspection. If you call Ron Buck at 384-2680, they'll come right out, check out your roof, make sure you're in good shape. When was the last time somebody was up there? You don't want to climb up there. Have Buck's team do it. Online at rbuckroofing.com. And Pro Partners Healthcare in the Northland and Leawood. This is direct primary care for your entire family. Allows fast access to your doctor for everyone. It's concierge healthcare, basically. You have direct access to your doctor, not some automated system or big corporate entity. No, this is a great local partnership. ProPartnersHealthcare.com. They're independent. Dr. Troy Burns and his staff have been treating Kansas City families for decades. Check them out online at ProPartnersHealthcare.com. Okay, as we discussed, it was not much of a weekend for the college teams as well. We talked a little K-State right there with Stan as they've got some issues to clean up. They lose out on the road. KU played Duke close for quite a while until giving up three touchdowns in a six-minute span in the third quarter, and Duke pulled away and won 52-33, but there still remain in losses some pretty good signs for Kansas. They're hanging with some teams. They're doing some things right. Duke's not great. I understand all that, but I'm not willing to write off Kansas right now. And so I see more in it, I think, than most people. I see some discipline and some order in what they're doing, and I do believe that's the first step. I don't think winning is the first step. I think playing the game the right way is the first step. It's just what we talked about with the Chiefs. The disarray that the Chiefs, the complete disregard for order and discipline that the Chiefs play with can be their best friend and their worst enemy. I love the fact that Mahomes improvises and does all this stuff, but I don't like it when he does it with a minute 50 to go in a tie game. That's not when you do it. You do it when you're down three or you're down four and you have to have a touchdown. Then you take the chances. But not when you're tied. When the worst thing's going to happen is you're going to overtime at home, don't be so risky. And I find that Kansas is making great strides in that direction. Missouri loses at Boston College, and this one's pretty simple. I mean, they lose in overtime 41-34. Missouri has to find some run defense. I mean, this is a good football team with one major illness. And it is a major illness. 276 yards rushing for Boston College. Missouri gave up 251 the week before to Southeast Missouri. If teams are just going to line up and run the football on the Missouri Tigers, and this is the SEC they're getting ready to get into, if teams just line up and run for 275 every week, how do you beat that? You have to play a perfect game offensively. Connor Bazelak threw for 300 yards again, did some really nice things in the game, but he had a couple interceptions. If you have a mostly throwing offense and you're going to throw a pick a game, you're going to have one, or you're going to have a turnover here and there, and you can't stop the run, how are you going to win? You're just not going to win games. And I can't imagine that. Here's the good news for Missouri. The good news is this. There's no team with troubles right now that is so easily identified and correctable. All right, if this means they need to bunch up and play closer to the line of scrimmage, gamble a little more on the edges, beef up, you know, on the defensive line, bring the linebackers up, fade the safeties up. If they need to make that adjustment and dare teams to beat them over the top, let's make the adjustment. Let's do it. Let's find a way to stop the run first. So there is something in the simplicity of Missouri's problem. If you can't stop the run, Bill Snyder has told me many, many times over and over and over, through the years. It's one of his favorite things to talk about. When we're having dinner or doing whatever, he says, any coach can take any one thing away from a football team. He says, even when we were bad, when we didn't have good players and we were bad, we could go say, we can take this away from that team. This one thing. But then you're just opening up a can of worms elsewhere. Well, with Missouri right now, it's worth the risk. If it means teams are going to have to throw the ball 40 yards downfield on you and beat you over the top, let them try. Let them try, but you got to stop the run. You can't keep giving up 250-plus yards a game on the ground to your opponent. So it'll be interesting to see what Missouri does adjustments-wise and where they go. There's so much to like about the team. The offense looks good. They score. This was relatively similar to the Kentucky game. They gave up a lot on the ground. They were behind. They came back. They did all these things. I'm not writing Missouri's season off. No how, no way. They do too many things very well. They're too good at too many things to write this off and say, well, this is just a 6-6 football team. No, they're capable of beating people because they can be electric on offense. They just have to find a way to stop the run. The biggest disappointment anywhere in the Midwest, maybe all of college football this year, is Iowa State. They've got two losses already. And they just went and lost to Baylor. It's one thing to lose to Iowa, now they've lost to Baylor. Iowa State doesn't look right. Iowa State was overranked. Iowa State was overhyped coming into this season. Iowa State was a team that largely played close games and is a good, solid, disciplined football team that would win those games. They're not doing that this year. They're not. Iowa State's very disappointing. Their over-under in Vegas was 9.5. I took the under. Iowa State would have to go 10-2 in order for me to lose. Well, they got to run the table now for me to lose that bet. I'm on Iowa State under 9.5. I also bet Alabama under 11.5 because I'm just betting they're going to lose a game somewhere. We'll see. Their schedule isn't all that daunting. We'll see. We'll see. And I have Missouri over 7. Those were my plays this year. Those were my season totals. And I'm not giving up on Missouri, although I had Boston College written down as a win. So they're one game off where I thought they'd be. I thought the Tigers would be 3-1 right now, but they can steal that one back with a win over A&M at home in a couple of weeks or something like that. A&M doesn't look that great. There's a lot of games out there. It looks to me like the Tigers could win. They got a couple in the division. They're going to be really hard. Georgia looks like a monster. Florida's got a tremendous defense. Those are going to be really hard games for Missouri. But other than that, you know, they've got a non-con. They got Vandy. They got teams out there they can handle. Teams out there they can beat. Maybe South Carolina. So I think the Tigers got a lot of room to grow, and we'll see how that plays out. If you missed the Ryder Cup this weekend, I know we talked about it on the podcast on Friday. The United States team just crushed Europe in epic historic fashion, 19-9. So it's not football. So 19-9 in football, you're like, okay, there was a nice game. That's an unbelievable beatdown in the Ryder Cup. It just doesn't happen. It's historic. And it was from start to finish. It was 6-2 on Friday, and you're like, wow, this thing's over. And the Americans knew it. We talked about this on the podcast Friday. The American golf team and the American players are young. They're a new generation. They're friends with one another. They're not selfish. The generation before them, look, like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson spent 20 years of their lives hating each other. It's a little bit like this DeChambeau-Koepka thing, which didn't seem to be a factor because the other 10 guys on this team are all friends. And I actually think Koepka's the jerk in that thing, by the way, and he was kind of a jerk at the Ryder Cup, but I'm not going to go into great detail on that. These younger players, there were 6 rookies on this team for the American side. There were 6 rookies, and they were just sensational. They just went there and said, we're more talented than this other team. The other team's old. Shane Lowry weighs like 300 pounds. Ian Poulter's 100 years old. Sergio's getting old. You looked at the European team and thought, no, they're past their prime. These young American kids are unbelievable, and they put a beat down on the Euros like nothing before. Do you want to know how confident the Americans were? And the knock on the Americans in the Ryder Cup when we've been losing has simply been this. They're not friends. They don't get along. They don't play well together as a team. They're always uptight because they're all just individuals and they can't come together. Now people are criticizing Justin Thomas and Daniel Berger because on Saturday afternoon at the first tee box, when Thomas and Berger were not playing, so on any given session until Sunday, there are 4 golfers on your team not playing. 8 play, 4 sit. So Berger and Thomas were 2 that were sitting. They went to the first tee to rile up the fans and started shotgunning beers down on the tee box. The golfers, the American golfers, were shotgunning beers at the Ryder Cup with golf fans, getting them fired up to make noise and scream at the Ryder Cup. Now, a lot of people criticize that. That's disrespectful. That's unsportsmanlike. That's bad for the game, whatever. I don't care. They won 19-9. Go win. Find your good spot. Find your space. They did it. They did it. And they're not really flamboyant golfers. They're just uber talented. Bryson DeChambeau steps up on Sunday at the beginning of a singles match, hits it 354 yards on the first tee, a par 4, drives the green with his driver on the first hole, 41 feet from the cup and drains the eagle putt. You're like, really? And he's playing Sergio Garcia, who's an accomplished golfer, has been a great golfer. But come on. It just, these are mismatches. These young American players are unbelievable. Thomas and Berger are defending themselves on their beer chugging, saying the Milwaukee Bucks, this was in Wisconsin, and the Milwaukee Bucks do a thing at their games where they do a chug a beer. Remember one year, was it Aaron Rodgers chugged one, or was it an offensive lineman for the Packers went to a Bucks game? They put somebody on the Jumbotron every game and they chug a beer from the stands. Celebrities have done it, people do it, and that's what these guys did. And they thought, we're right here in Wisconsin. We're right here where this is what they do. That state is all about beer and cheese. They do a chug of beer at the basketball games, and we're going to chug one right here because we're not playing this afternoon. I was okay with it. I was okay with it, and I'm really okay with the Americans. Previous teams have been tight, didn't get along, weren't friends. That ain't this bunch. This bunch just rolled over the Euros, and it was a giant celebration of Americana. Coolest moments were things like Sunday before it started, the fans are all gathered around the first tee. There's nothing going on. It's like 30 minutes till anybody's going to play. And they just organically break out into the national anthem and start singing. It's unbelievable. Ryder Cup, and I love America. You know that. You listen to this podcast. You know I love America. I love the patriotism of that. And, man, you want to talk about a bunch of conservatives in one place cheering for one team? Golf fans cheering for the American golf team at the Ryder Cup is about as Trump as it gets. And it was on full display in Wisconsin. Congratulations to Team USA. That was an epic, epic beatdown. Hey, thanks for listening to KKHI as always. Hope you'll tell your friends about it. If you do, have them hit that like or follow button. Certainly appreciate that. If you'd like to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com and sign up for as little as $5 a month. We'll have another 3 patron podcasts this week and the newsletter on the weekend. We look forward to those, and we look forward to you joining if you'd like to join us at kkhasissues.com. But mostly, just remember, wherever you go, remind people that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.